Welcome to the Declarations of War podcast, episode 79. Your host for this evening, myself, Alexei Card. We've got Kingblade of Gnar filling in for Ninja Turtle.
Hello.
And CSM representative Ali Arras.
Sup, y'all.
Joining us this afternoon are some special guests. We've got Brothers of Hariel, a.k.a. Broza. Former CEO of Gnar Academy, he's currently with Snuffbox, and he brought along his court mate, Wex. Say hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
That is Wex Manchester, also Snuffbox. We're going to give out some shout-outs. I want to give less of a shout-out, more of a call-out, to whoever in CCP has permitted the sad state of duality to continue. Because it is bad. People's accounts aren't activated. The lag is unbearable. We did some scrims yesterday, and it was practically unplayable. And it took, like, how many weeks to get this? I expect a little better from the tournament team this year.
Hey, the real question there is, you know, I don't know if they released it at basically the earliest date it was possibly playable or whatever. But my shout-out, sort of a generic shout-out to all you folks who are listening to our podcast. You guys are cool. You deserve a shout-out.
I guess, King, you can take Turtle's shout-out spot.
Okay, I'm going to give my shout-out to Broza, who's been a longtime buddy, and to all of the members of Gnar, old and new.
Thanks, King. I'm shouting out to my Deserters Hangout, who are my anonymous sponsors and keep me funded and shipped, and therefore playing, and also to Cass Dyson, because Cass Dyson.
Yeah, I miss Cass. I don't see him enough. He's on, but he's never on when I'm on. Wex, do you have any shout-outs?
Sure. I'd say hi to my snuff buddies and to my favorite CSM, Sugar Kyle, because I know it'll embarrass her, and I'm looking for that.
Little Sugar. All right, and talk about our sponsor, Eve Time Code, longtime sponsor of the show. EveTimeCode.com, where your business counts. They have one Plex for every $250 spent. You get a free one. And they also accept Bitcoins. So if you're into that, go check them out. EveTimeCode.com, great place to get your game time. We brought Broza on here. He's been clamoring to come on the show for the longest time. He's a really interesting dude. We recently had to kick out his brother's court from the Alliance, because they're terrible. So, at least they know it runs in the family.
I resent that.
No, you resemble that.
Alright, Broza, why don't you talk a little bit about... we'll start with Broza first, then we'll get into Wex. Talk a bit about how you got into the game, and what your first steps were.
Well, now you've mentioned it, it was actually my brother, who is apparently terrible. Bugged me for ages and ages to play this spaceship game, which I thought, no, it does not interest me. He even bought me like a £750 laptop just so I could play it with him. Turns out it was actually alright. I was a Care Bear. I quit for 9 months because I thought I was right again. This game was boring. Came back, went to 0-0, which was killing it again for me. I had brief arrays in places like Rolling Thunder, White Noise, Intergalactic Exports Group, if anybody remembers how terrible they were. And then from there, after nearly burning myself out again in 0-0, I joined Gnar Academy. Probably became the best student they've ever had.
What? I don't remember that part of the story at all.
This is my recollection of the story, guys, if you would please be quiet.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Thank you. I became CEO of Gnar Academy once I'd graduated. After that, I left and joined Aquila Inc. in Verge of Collapse, which was good fun. It was my first attempt at wormholing, which was successful for a while. After that, I left and joined Triumvirate after the Verge of Collapse split, where Volta went and reformed Triumvirate. So I went over there. Ishtars are boring, was the moral of that story. Ishtars are very boring.
They're very effective, but not very fun.
There's only so many times you can go on an op, reinforce a tower of Ishtars, only to stand down at the reinforced timer when CFC bring 400 battleships. And rinse and repeat of that was killing it again. And that's how I ended up in Snuffbox, actually. Trying my hand at low sec, piracy, flashy, blinky, shooty shoot.
How's it been going?
Actually really, really enjoying it. Everyone in Snuffbox is helpful and a lot of fun. It's my sort of corp.
What kind of doctrines are you guys rolling around with right now? Like, what's the flavor of the month?
I think Snuffbox is using more... It's obviously all armor. And LoSec introduces more use for battleship doctrines. We've used Navy Geddons, Macarials against a brief engagement with Razor where they thought they would come and mess with us. And then we try slightly more unconventional fleets. Things that we just feel like flying. Vexor Navy issues, Deimos fleets, which are not particularly popular in EVE as a general.
The Deimos fleet.
The Deimos fleet. The Blaster Deimos fleet.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the only way to go.
It's a lot of fun, but you know, it's all about trying new things.
I'm glad you're having a good time over there. We do miss you, though. You know who misses that. You the most?
Me.
Besides Kingblade. The Nor Academy guy. Inside joke, guys. Broza had volunteered himself to be an instructor for Nor Academy so he could get access to our forums again. I think he's taught 2 classes in 6 months.
Something like that. I think that's pretty good for me, actually.
You should bring some of the Nor Academy guys in your Snuffbox stuff. I'm sure it'll blow their minds. Your Carrials, oh my god.
So here's a question. Having done, you know, a whole bunch of different stuff, you know, including 00 and LoSec, how do you see the differences between those two areas in terms of combat, the kind of fleets you're taking out, and the kind of fights you're getting?
It's more... in the persona of the people that are doing it. I think everybody thinks they have the best PvP. Having done all of it, and all of it being completely different, you can never pick a side.
Right, well, let's bring Wex Manchester into this. Wex, what's your relationship to Snuffbox? How did you get started?
I started about 5.5 years ago. I was attracted to the mining life. It took me 3 weeks to get bored. So I rolled a brand new character and decided to PvP. And since then, that's all I've done. And I've been very, very lucky because I stumbled into a great group of people from my first PvP corporation. And I've been very lucky ever since. I've been in a handful of corporations, and they've all been really good, really nice people.
You want to name drop any of them?
Sure. I started out with a corporation called the Muriantor Tribe. It was a small corporation with practically no USA time zone, and it didn't bother me at all, frankly. Just good people. I play this game because of the people. Not because of the PvP, not because of anything else. If you enjoy the people you're with, it's an enjoyable pastime. If not, you gotta go do something else. I went from there to Late Night Alliance to a corporation called the Icefire Warriors.
Yeah,
I was lucky enough to get to fly in the Alliance tournament last year, which is a wonderful experience. I'm glad I did it, and I will never do it again.
Why is it that bad?
It's a tremendous amount of work. I mean, I worked harder on the Alliance tournament than I did at anything else I've done for the last 25 years, frankly. I'm not doing it again.
We're currently undergoing that process right now. We'll talk about it in a bit, but yeah, it's a challenge. In fact, in about an hour, we've got a scrim up on Sissy as it is.
After Icefire, I left Faction War entirely because I fell out of love with the mechanics and took up with a corporation called Calamitous Intent, which is where I met Sugar, by the way. Sugar Kyle, that is.
I was going to say, that seems like a familiar place.
I was there for a few months and decided that my interests didn't quite mesh with theirs. And I was sad to see him get into my rearview mirror. And the Snuffbox suits me just fine. I'm really enjoying it.
What do you do for Snuffbox? You're a line pilot and FC?
I do some FCing, but I rather enjoy the line pilot aspect of things.
So let me ask both of you. You guys had a fairly public split. Shadow Cartel had a very public split. And I know that Snuffbox and Shadow Cartel have sort of rivals. So what was your take on that? And have you seen that affect the, I will say, LoSEC ecosystem at all?
Bro, you want to go first?
I don't think I've been in Snuffbox long enough to comment on LoSEC politics regarding to Shadow Cartel.
All right, well, I'll give my perspective, although it's just an opinion. I haven't seen much difference, to tell you the truth. The piece of Shadow Cartel that split was their U.S. time zone component. So I think their European time zone component marches on, and their U.S. time zone component, they actually moved into our neighborhood, so there's been a slight impact there because we all fish from the same ponds. But I don't think I've seen a decrease in Shadow Cartel effectiveness as a result of that split, and I don't think it was a particularly ugly split. I think it was amicable, as far as I can see.
Yeah, well, I definitely got that vibe, too. I just meant public in that it really made headlines because of how influential Shadow Cartel has been in LoSEC over the recent years. Have you noticed an increase in activity from other groups as a result of maybe a perception that Shadow Cartel is not as powerful? Whether that's correct or not. More increases in dreads, trying to be more venturous, that kind of stuff.
I wish I had an interesting story to tell you, but the answer is I have not seen that, no.
Well, that's good to know. That's something we were speculating on an earlier cast, so I just wanted to follow up while we had two LoSEC experts. Alright, so let's get into some Eve news here. Well, I guess the big headline is that Kreas is incoming. It'll be in about 2 days, I think, from the recording of this show. And it's going to bring with it a completely new take on EVE industry and all the attendant things that come with it, which is a fair bit. I expect everything to be hit, from prices to politics to LoSEC mechanics to player migration. It's going to be a fairly big impact, I think. Allie's been working with this like on the front lines as her CSM duties are wont to do. Allie, do you want to go over some quick highlights of what you think Kreas is going to bring, stuff that's in the patch notes, and maybe some expected impact of those things?
Sure. So for people who haven't seen too much, it's basically the complete industry rework of EVE Online. We've got, you know, we've got tons of industry stuff coming out that's going to have basic... Ah, crap. I'm stuttering on this for some reason.
It's basically it's a completely new look at it. First of all, the UI is completely different.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Then you've got the actual economic parts of it, where they're changing the cost to build things. It's going to be more expensive to build things where everyone else is building things, and it's going to be extremely cheap to build them in places where no one is building anything.
Yeah, it's going to be great UI-wise, and they've done a reasonable amount in terms of learnability of industry. It's a little bit easier to, if you haven't ever done industry yet, walk in and say, oh, okay, I can think of how I'm going to build. Some of the biggest changes are this whole idea of a landscape that you can have workers that costs scale based on how much stuff is built in a system, that you can have workers that you attract to a system that provide benefits to jobs that are run in that system, and it's all focused around making, you know, where you decide to produce things matter a reasonable amount. And that focus means that people will get the best benefit if they think a little bit more and don't just do, you know, oh, here's a spreadsheet. I'm just going to do the things that are on the spreadsheet. And that's huge.
That's huge. That's a concern you hear from a lot of the industry people who are so used to doing it that way for so long. But I think it's going to be much healthier for the game to have things be more dynamic. And you're going to have the opportunity for young players that come in and have a good head on their shoulders to look for these opportunities and find places that they can maybe make things that more established guys that are too lazy or too big to move around, and these more nimble, newer industrialists can come in there and actually undercut them a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm most excited about coming into Kreas, is this whole, you know, if you are a smaller time industry player and that you don't have a ton of accounts, but you do put a lot of thought into it, you can go pretty far. And that's exciting.
And still more changes. You're not going to be able to produce things out of POS from a station anymore. They're going to have the blueprint in the POS. But to compensate, they're making copying a lot easier. They're adding some special stuff to LoSEC in terms of its ability to produce capital modules, in particular a POS array, which is going to give some nice bonuses to that. They're completely reworking how POS bonuses function. They're removing the restrictions for putting POSs in HiSec. There's no more standings requirement. It's just a requirement that new corps have to wait a week before they can put one up. And I think you can put them in all systems now, except for like GDOM. So that's definitely going to be a change.
You can mine in 0.4.
Say again?
You can mine in 0.4 sec.
Moonmine.
Yeah, moonmine, sorry.
Yep, and that's going to open up a lot, I think. It's going to probably play quite a bit of havoc with the Tech 2 market. It's worth mentioning that invention has not been changed quite yet, so that will remain the same.
More or less. There's a couple of changes coming in, but it's not a complete set, which is something that's been definitely freaking out a lot of industrialists, because they see these changes coming in and they're like, oh, crap, you know, what's going to happen to us?
Well, as a manufacturer myself, I'm definitely looking at a lot of these changes, and there's a lot of things UI change wise I really like. I really like the prototype wireframe that they've shown us. I do like the industry window. There's a lot of things on that side that I like. I am still holding my judgment on the moon mining changes, as well as some of the refining and production changes, before I pass judgment there.
Speaking of, refining is getting changed. There's no more perfect refine in HiSec.
No.
It's been severely
nerfed. No more perfect refine anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And the best that you're going to be able to do is a heavily upgraded outpost in 0.0. Probably how it should be, although I think they may have hit it a wee too hard, if I'm reading some of those numbers right. What's the highest you can get anywhere, Allie? Is it like 75-ish?
Something like that, but they've increased mineral output to compensate. So there's a set point, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's below perfect, where you get the same exact output post-Kreas as you would pre-Kreas. Now, that set point is, so you get the same exact output post-Kreas as you get pre-Kreas, and that set point set by just multiplying the minerals that refining outputs by a certain factor, so that you can still refine ore for the same amount of materials as you could before. It's just that now it doesn't count as 100%. And what this is doing, a lot of people are frustrated about this, and I can understand that. What it's doing for CCP is it's giving them the ability to put things into the game that would imbalance it in some ways. They don't have to worry about this problem that they had where if you were doing refining, you could end up with over 100% materials getting back and actually end up building something, refining it, and getting extra materials, so you just generate materials out of thin air. That's not a balance worry anymore. And so CCP doesn't have to worry about that, and it opens up the ability to add more cool technologies and stuff into the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of complicated math, but if there is going to be some fucking dog, there is going to be some gains for it down the line. I think that's probably worthwhile to do. Anything like that, though, where there's going to be future iteration, people are always going to be leery about that because of CCP's track record on it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. It's just, you know, a little interesting to watch.
Now, Broza and Wex, is Snuffbox looking at these low-sec changes as an opportunity or more of a hindrance or annoyance? The increase in moon mining, the increase in you would have to assume population as people come in and maybe look at building things there. The new capital construction things, probably more POS is going to be available as targets, but that also means more POS bashes.
Bro?
Honestly, I've not heard anyone mention anything about it. I think the general snuff consensus, if you ask them, would be it's fine because we'll have more people to shoot at.
He's right. That is one of the things that Snuffbox has noticed. My personal opinion is that anything that draws people into low-sec is a good thing, not necessarily just because they become targets, but because I'd like to see low-sec more populated. I'm not sure everybody shares my opinion, but I'd really like to see more low-sec communities develop. A lot of low-sec.
So you can mercilessly crush them.
No. That'll happen. Some of it'll happen. But I'd like to see more low-sec markets develop, for instance. I don't necessarily want to have everybody in the world shopping at Jita all the time for everything. If you make low-sec a more profitable place to live, with more potential for growth, you're going to get the enterprising souls who are going to take a shot at it, and I think that's good for the game, and it's certainly good for corporations who live in low-sec.
Now, speaking of low-sec and it having an increased population, we got a lot of blowback on comments from our last episode. We were talking about the analysis that shows that the PCU count is dropping. You know, Nosy Gamer's match of, like, big EVE events, expansion releases, to the graph. And people are like, oh, well, you know, it's such doom and gloom and blah, blah, blah. Well, on the 11th, a blogger for EVE Lost and Found put out some interesting statistics from Dotland, showing things like NPC kills, ship kills, jumps, and, you know, pulling all the rich information that Dotland has to offer, and did a little analysis. Okay, the average user count's going down, but what is it actually translating to in terms of, like, actual stuff that's happening? Which is a really cool idea, and he did a lot of analysis that's pretty impressive. He compared 2012, 2013 to 2013 and some projections for 2014. Now, projections, that's kind of iffy, but it still gives us something to talk about, and, you know, we can go over all the numbers, but the gist of it is low-sec has had a explosion of activity. NPCs killed, ships killed, jumps, and you would kind of expect that with the increase to faction warfare and the recent buffs to Losec in the last patch. Wormhole space has gone down considerably, and so has HiSec, actually. And NullSec has more or less stayed the same with some slight decreases in certain places. Particularly slight increases in NPCs killed, slight increase in ships killed. Again, these are projected. Slight increase in jumps. I don't know how accurate these projections are. Some of them look downright inaccurate to me, but you gotta give the guy the benefit of the doubt. So, it looks like Losec is the place to be, which I'm sure our guests would agree with, and frankly, I kind of agree with too. A lot of these changes have really excited me about Losec. Kind of wish I was living there, but we'll see. The decrease in HiSec surprises me. Now, that may be because of a lack of alts, which is one of the theories that he puts out. The PCU count is going down because of Plex prices. People just aren't plexing their accounts, and they're just like trying to conserve them down. This is also coming in with CCP being able to do multiple character training on one account, and obviously you can't have two characters from the same account logged in. I don't know that that would account for all of it, though. What do you guys think?
Well, the one thing that kind of jumped out at me was in the projection was the HiSec NPC kills. According to the graph, it looks like it's about an 11% decrease is the projection. That to me, is going to say that either A, that tells me either A, there's not as many alts running around, care-bearing it up, running missions, which is going to decrease the number of Meta 3 and Meta 4 modules, so you're going to see the prices on those go up. Probably, if these are close, you'll probably see a 5-7% increase in module prices as supply starts to dwindle. Because 11% doesn't seem like a lot, but 11% is huge when you consider the number of modules that 11% can make up. What does give me a lot of hope is the Losec NPC kills, which means that there are more people in Losec, which is something I've always been a proponent for, is hanging a bigger carrot on Losec to get people out of HiSec. To give PvPers, like Brozon, Wex there, as well as myself and anyone else who enjoys the PvP aspect of the game, more targets to attack and just more opportunity. That's just my personal take on it.
I don't think PvE, as far as mission running, that I don't think that's been touched for years. And, there's only so many times that you can rescue the damsel before you want to just gouge your eyes out.
Yeah, but that hasn't exactly been missions. They've also done, like, adding the Mordu's Legion things to the belts and stuff like that, which increases people going out there to try to get them. Security tags was another thing like that.
Right. I was thinking about the HiSec stuff.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, there's no change that explains the HiSec thing. I mean, HiSec missioning hasn't been nerfed, incursions haven't been nerfed. It's either people are not doing that with their alts, or they're moving those alts out. And from the look of it, it sounds like they're stopping the alts and maybe playing with their mains in Losec and Nullsec.
Which is in some ways good and in some ways bad. I mean, I'd say overall it's good. The only bad would come from, you know, if they're doing that and dropping their subscriptions and whatnot, then you see a total subscription decrease, even as real people remains constant. Which, you know...
Bad for CCP, but not as bad for the game as perhaps once feared.
Yeah, I'd say if anything, it's good for the game, because then you've got more... The people who you interact with are more likely to be more fully engaged in one character in one area, doing a variety of things, but doing it connected to one community.
Yeah. What concerns me most, I think, is the totals here. Total ship kills projected, not much statistical difference. Total NPC kills projected, actually going down by 5%. Total jumps projected, going down by almost 3.5%. If you assume that the game is growing slightly in terms of new players coming in, and you would think that would have to be the case, otherwise we'd be seeing a massive shrinkage in the player base. That means, like, less... There's more going on, but it's happening less per individual person. And if alts really do explain the PCU drop, then that's even more so the case. And that's not entirely inconsistent with the, like, sort of the anecdotal frustration with lack of activity that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're seeing, and I could be wrong, but I think we're seeing a migration from high sec to low sec. Because if you look, the high sec jumps drop 8%, but we're seeing the projected drop is 8%, but we're seeing a projected almost 20% increase in low sec jumps, which I think kind of reinforces what you were saying, Alec, as well as is that I think that there is a migration to low sec because of the carrots that they've started to add, which I think is good.
But I think it's fantastic. That's percentages. If you look at the absolute values, like, they're much less in high sec compared to a lot fewer in low sec. The percentage is higher because there wasn't much to begin with. But the absolute values, they're losing much more in high sec. So where are those people going?
Well, I think some of it has to do with, and this is, again, complete conjecture, but I do think that we are seeing the number of subs decrease as we're seeing Plex prices increase and as we're seeing just the overall bloating of the market. I think we're going to see a market correction. I think we're going to see a Plex price correction due to this, and I've been saying this for a long time, is that we have been living in a, everyone knows we live in a hyperinflated economy in EVE, but I think we're right at the edge of our bubble, and we're going to see a readjustment, either forcibly through CCP having to make an adjustment in order to increase their subs, or we're going to see a natural occurrence of a bubble burst to deflate a little bit. And I don't know what the long-term effects are going to be, but the short-term effects are going to definitely be, could potentially be pretty severe. You could see a much larger sell-off of sub-accounts if we do have a bubble burst, because you're going to see price values continue to rise, but income values to decrease.
And let's move on. We've been talking about that. However, I'm sure we'll be talking about it on the next show, and probably the show after that, as long as it remains one of the foremost issues in people's minds. But I do want to touch on something else to wrap up our EVE News segment. The end of an era. Kagutsuman has shut down for the most part. They're going to keep one archived thread, not even archived, but just keep one thread for EVE-related content, and then the Kugu team is moving on to a new project. I was never big into Kugu, but I think there's no getting around that it's a historically significant community and probably the host of some of the best shit-talking the entire game.
That's what Kugu does.
Yep. Now, for those newer players who aren't familiar with it, Kagutsuman is a player who first broke the infamous T20 scandal, which was a EVE developer which used their developer tools to spawn Tech 2 BPOs, which are incredibly valuable for a particular player organization that he was a part of, that organization being Band of Brothers Alliance. When that was made public, it was done so through some methods that broke the EULA, certainly, and embarrassed CCP, absolutely. And Kagutsuman was banned. Well, because he was banned, he went out and started on his own site, kagutsuman.com, which was supposed to be the forum where, like, the unofficial forums, and leaks would happen there. People would come there, it would have a completely different moderation style than the EVE Online forums, so there would be, at the same time, more quality content and more influential content, and that It wasn't just everybody and their brother posting on there. It tended to be FCs, alliance leaders, influential pilots. And it was at the same time, like, more vulgar, more smack-talky, but less shit-posty. Because there was a moderation team that, you know, was sort of in the vein of the, not something awful, but the more curated communities out there. And they frequently would have, like, entire threads for regional wars. Like, if there was a war in Providence, there would be a thread for the war in Providence with people posting back and forth battle reports, updates, shit talk. It was a good time. I definitely visited it frequently when Anwar was in Providence and we held space there, because a lot of the people that we had to interact with were active in that community, so sort of bore mentioning following what they were saying. Anybody else have some Kugu memories they want to give before we wrap it up? King, did you ever post there? You're another old schooler.
A couple of times, but most of my stuff was limited to returning the shit talking that was shit talked to us.
Broza, Wex, I would guess Allie would consider herself above that kind of cesspool.
I never posted, but I read it.
Honestly, the only time I touched on Kugu was when I was in Noir and we touched into Black Legion, and just the amount of arrogance there was just far too painful for me to keep looking.
Yeah, I'm not a big forum reader, frankly, so that's a chapter that I never read.
Yeah, I read it. It was the kind of thing where you put on your, you know, hip waders and then wandered in.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's a chapter you can't unread either, but at the same time, I'm kind of sad to see it go. I really hope they make the decision to archive the forums and make it available for people that want to keep track of it, because I think for Eve's historical record, it's an important source of information. I would really hate to see them just can it all.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, they're not planning on doing that, though. So if there's anyone on the Kugu team that listens to the show, please reconsider. Just make a zip file, toss it up on Torrent or something, and let whoever wants to download it, just so we can have a record. That'd be awesome. Alright, contract wrap-up. We have been prepping for the Alliance Tournament, and yesterday sucked. Sucked so hard. We had good scrims the previous week. Like I said, we've actually won a few, which was kind of cool. However, this week, we scrimmed against Tuskers yesterday. We did it on Duality, and Duality was just practically unplayable. We had all our ships fitted and ready to go, but the act of removing them from hangars and trading them to people took minutes per trade. So we didn't really... Like, we had three fights, and it took forever for those fights to happen. Tuskers ran a really cool setup that we just could not break. We threw three different setups at it that admittedly were not really optimized for what they were bringing, but we still just couldn't do it. Like, we didn't even come close, I don't think. And one major problem was that, I don't know if this would have really helped considering what they were running, but our logistics ship was active tanked and just kept getting exploded over and over because the module lag on activating and managing reps was so severe that it was just impossible to keep it up, because the buffer on those ships is usually quite thin. So I blame Duality for all of our losses until it wasn't our fault, and we have another practice in about an hour, which we're going to do on Sissy, and hopefully that'll go a little bit better, fingers crossed.
At least then, if we lose, we can say it's our fault.
Right. King, are you up on Singularity? Because I know you're having problems. You and a few other people were having problems yesterday with getting their clients on Duality.
I did double check last night and this morning. I'm actually currently logged into Sissy, and I'm sitting in station. So I am good to go. I did check today for Duality, and again, I'm still not in. And that's after they told me that I was all set. So there's another. There will be some back and forth.
Yeah. We also have Sovereign Apocalypse, another one of our members. He's not able to get on Singularity, because apparently they mirrored when he only had like a day left in his account, and before he plexed it up. So like his account's expired, he has to get it reactivated. Apparently that takes a week.
Ouch.
So, yeah. But we're doing our best, I guess. At least we have the satisfaction of knowing that like literally every team is facing the same challenges. It's just every other team has like more people and can do in-house scrims and that sort of thing. So not the best. actually we'll do this week in Mercs and CSM Corner after that. This isn't really a story somebody sent in, and to say that it's newsworthy is kind of like, ugh, because shit-talking happens all the time on Crime and Punishment, but, you know, it is sort of going on, and it's something the community's watching, so we'll talk about it. Marmite Collective and Pursuit of Happiness are continuing to trade shots on the forums. This is on Pursuit's thread, this is on Marmite's thread, this is on other threads. They're just sniping each other back and forth. Marmite, it seems to be... I'm just giving the gist of what I've seen. Marmite insists that they can beat Pursuit of Happiness anytime, anywhere, and that the remnants of Rebirth are trying to brand themselves as like the most feared PvPers in Empire, which I find a bit laughable. For those who haven't been keeping up, Rebirth, aka Stillbirth, has shut itself down and merged into Marmite Collective. I think those guys deserve one another. Rebirth is the most frequently banned corp from the Merc Contracts channel. Kept getting let back in against my recommendations. Yeah, you know, we kept giving them a chance. They kept on blowing it. They are obnoxious and full of themselves and have been at war with us a few times, and I don't really recall them ever doing that well at it. So, most feared PvPers, I guess in a sense, in that if they ever joined your alliance, there was a pretty good chance you would get banned, and or they would try to take your alliance over. But as far as feared and like the, oh, I don't want to fight those guys sense, nah, not so much. And Pursuit of Happiness, on the other hand, has pointed out the numerous wars they've had quite recently with Marmite, and they've just killed billions upon billions upon billions of ships without much in response. So Marmite's chest beating, Pursuit of Happiness is going lol, the kill boards. And then people like Lucas Keller, you know, sniping it. Mostly Marmite, it seems, because they're goblin connection, most likely. So that's what's going on. That seems to be what's hot in the mercenary world right now. We need some more content.
Everyone needs more content.
We need to be rid of Marmite.
Well, I didn't say it.
I fired the shots. Come on, Marmite, let's do it.
Well, they have war decked us a couple times and have never shown up to try to kill us.
But that's why I'm throwing the shots out there. Shots fired, buddy. Deck us and then actually show up for a fight. Come on.
Oh, you heard it. All right, CSM Corner. Al, you want to take us out?
Alrighty, CSM Corner is fairly empty. Obviously, we talked about Krios getting released. That's the biggest thing going on. So we've got sort of the 1-2 punch of, one, it is July. That means that CCP is on vacation, or at least large swaths of CCP are on vacation. It's a Europe thing, I guess. It's the summer. Or it's allegedly the summer, so you got to get out and go home and see your family and travel and all that stuff.
It's as close to a summer as they get.
Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of the CSM corner stuff has been relatively smaller issues. Still picking up pieces from Krios and handing them over CCP in that. Kind of, you know, last couple days before release mode where they're pretty much just fixing the highest priority bugs they can find and, you know, don't really want to talk about anything that isn't a bug. So, there's a couple of people who are still around doing that despite the vacation, and I assume a lot of it got done before folks headed off. I'm looking forward to the summit. The summer summit is going to be in September, the quote-unquote summer summit, shortly after the Alliance tournament ends. And the attendees will be, of course, myself, San Kimitomo, Mina, Sugar Kyle, who, yes, is an excellent CSM, Corbex, Mike Azaria, and Steve Ronikin. So we should have a fairly good balance of playstyles. Obviously, there's the Scion and Mina heavy 0-0. There's myself with Mercs and smaller groups in 0-0, new players, Sugar representing low sec, Corbex representing wormholes, Mike, who's got a lot of the high sec, both Care Bear and surprising amounts of NPSI experience, and then Steve Ronikin, our industrialist and third-party dev expert. So should have a lot of good things to contribute in most balancing sessions. Of course, some CSMs will be contributing from the comfort of their bedroom as they remote in. But should be a fun week, and we'll keep you all posted about that as it's going on.
Alrighty. Summer Summit is always good content. I noticed a very heavy industry focus there. Mina, Sugar Kyle, Mike to an extent, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, there's all those folks, other than Steve, all those folks have something else going on. But that'll probably be a good set. We're going to undoubtedly be talking about T2 Industry and Invention, which CCP has said is the next thing up on the slate. So that'll be valuable, and undoubtedly there'll be post-Creus issues to talk about, and of course the ever-evolving larger conversation on what shall we do with 0-0, which is an interesting conversation to it's one that's been sort of slowly going around the player base, and it's one that came up at the Winter Summit, and I'm sure we'll rehash that and continue to kind of discuss the 0-0 design direction and what things CCP can do for 0-0 now. Certainly we saw at the keynote that they are addressing it. Sovereignty is on the roadmap, but the question is when and how.
Alrighty. Our final sponsor, EveBet. www.eve-bet.com, New Eden's premier betting service. You can bet on EVE sports, esports, and real-life sports with your ISK. They've handled trillions of bets since opening, so they're a service you can trust. And they also have some casino games that you can do when you're not betting on industry-standard odds. So check it out. They're always adding new stuff to bet on. It's eve-bet.com. And that's it for 79, guys. Thanks for joining us. We're going to go to declarationsofwar.com, participate in the show poll. You can leave a comment or put a donation. Even though I can't pronounce it, we would appreciate it if you did it. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir. Apply to join us or Noir Academy on the forums at noirmerks.com. I want to thank our guests, Brothers of Harriel, Wex Manchester. And I also want to thank Kingblade for filling in for Turtle. King, you did great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the invite.
That was great to have you. We had to do a special European time zone recording.
Because some of us have to work at normal times.
Yes, but it was worth it. It was good to have you guys here. And with that, we'll see you guys later. Good hunting, listeners.